Education Committee to order. I assume we're calling the other members to get them to come, but welcome, Senator Stone.
Good morning, Mr. Chair.
Senator, it's an honor to be with you. Jewish Standard Time, 9 o'clock.
Yeah, right on time.
It's nice to see you. Honorable Chair, I'm presenting SB 1443. As we go around our districts and listen to our constituents, certainly during the break and at various events, one thing that I've noticed recently is the rise in the concern about school violence that we've witnessed throughout the United States. In this world of uncertainty, one thing we know for certain is that it's not a question of if, it's just a matter of when the next tragic episode of school violence will occur. I know local school districts have the ability to raise funds and can allocate state funds with various amounts of flexibility, but currently there is no specific fund within the state for purchasing safety equipment and measures such as metal detectors for schools. So SB 1443 would establish a pilot program in Riverside County. This bill is entirely permissive and is not a mandate. If the Riverside County Office of Education chose to participate, it would allow the office to raise private funds in order to buy metal detectors for its schools within its jurisdictions. If the office were able to raise the threshold of $900,000, the state would assist with its own funds of $100,000 or 10%. There would be a review of the program within 10 years to judge the efficacy of the program and would sunset in 6 years. We are all looking for ways to make our schools safer, and this is just one small way to accomplish this goal. For those reasons, I would respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator. Any witnesses support or folks who want to voice their support for the bill?
No, just me.
All right, seeing none, folks who want to voice opposition or raise concerns about the bill? You can come up here. Good morning, Senator. Let's first call a quorum. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we're not a five-member committee. We almost were.
Yeah.
All right. Good to see you, Senator. We're here on item one. This is SB 1443, Senator Stone. Yes, ma'am.
Good morning. Kathy Scher for the ACLU of California. We respectfully oppose SB 1443, and I apologize for us not being able to get a letter in on time. We all agree that school safety is essential and that the mission of educating our children has to start by providing a safe place to learn. We believe that putting more metal detectors in schools is the wrong way to achieve this end. Metal detectors don't reduce the risk of violent behavior. Instead, by creating an atmosphere where students feel suspected and unsafe, they reduce the trust between students and the adults at school. And this means that students are less likely to report actual threats and school personnel less able to address those threats. I want to talk a little bit about the Los Angeles Unified School District, which has a large and long-standing program for use of metal detectors. In LA Unified, they've been conducting metal detector searches of individual students since 1993. The existing policy, which mandates that every middle and high school conduct these searches, was adopted in 2011. Students are taken out of classes for supposedly random searches. They miss class time to be searched. They have to spread their arms and legs to be wanded, and their belongings are also subject to search. Predictably, students report that they feel anxious and violated when they are subject to search, and that the searches make them less able to trust the adults at their schools. Yet, there's little apparent benefit. The ACLU's review of search logs from the 2013-14 and 15-16 school years showed that in the over 100,000 searches conducted, not a single gun was found. Weapons are much more likely to be found and confiscated when students come forward to report information to adults on campus, reports that happen less frequently when trust between students and adults is eroded. I note that the funding from this bill could be used to fund handheld metal detectors, as I read it, in addition to stationary ones at school entrances. Just yesterday, the Los Angeles City Attorney's Blue Ribbon Panel on School Safety issued its comprehensive report on school safety, which I recommend to you. It's an interesting report on a number of topics, but among its other recommendations, it recommended that LA Unified suspend its metal detector search policy. The report stressed the need for enhanced mental health resources for students and the need for students to feel connected to adults at schools as ways to reduce violence. Metal detectors stationed at school entrances can also be problematic. In New York City, in many schools, students pass through metal detectors to enter school and then are often subject to additional bag searches and pat-downs in the process. They arrive at school feeling like they are automatically under suspicion. They often lose class time due to the lines at the metal detectors. These burdens fall disproportionately on students of color who are more likely to attend the schools with permanent metal detectors. This is not a model that we should be seeking to replicate in California. Too often, our response to issues of school safety focuses on ways to impose tighter controls. The results are schools that feel more like prisons, where every day young people walk through the doors and hear loud and clear the message that they are seen as suspects, not as learners, and that they are entering a place that is not safe for them. The result, as the research shows, is to make the students feel less safe and make them less able to learn. If we want safe schools, we need to make our schools into welcoming and inclusive places that support the social and emotional health of the students. Let's focus on providing schools with the resources they need to do that, rather than investing in expensive measures that will make things worse. We ask for your no vote.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other folks who want to raise concerns about the bill? All right. I note the presence of a quorum. If you please call quorum.
Allen.
Here.
Allen here. Wilk.
Present.
Wilk here. Galgiani. Leyva. McGuire. Pan.
Here.
Pan here. Vidak.
Present.
Vidak here.
All right. The quorum is present. Okay. So we're now at the stage where people can ask questions about the bill. Questions from the committee? Thoughts? Yes, Mr. Vice Chair?
Thank you. So I got a couple questions, Senator. First of all, this is a pilot program, correct?
Correct.
Only in Riverside County.
That's right.
I'm assuming you've talked to your local people and they're supportive of the concept.
The Riverside County Office of Education is, I would say, somewhat lukewarm on it right now. You know, we fortunately haven't had any incidents in Riverside County, and I don't wish that we have any incidents anywhere in the country. And while I respect the ACLU indicating that they don't want the kids to feel like they're going into a prison by going into a school, you know, I'll remind this committee that we're the second most visited institution in the state of California. We have over 1 million visitors that come here. They go through metal detectors. We live in a new normal. We live in a new normal. We're told all the time in many of our committees that we have climate change, we have fires, and we have to adjust to a new normal. We have a new normal in the United States of America where kids cannot go to school and be guaranteed that there's not a child that is going into that school with a gun that they stole from their parents' safe or where they keep their gun safely. And parents in my district want to ensure that when their kids go to school that they are going into an environment where there is no weapons. I'm going to be working with the Board of Education pending the passage of this bill today, if it is to pass, to stress the importance of it, and I plan on actively being engaged in the fundraising so that we don't use scarce dollars at the school district that could be used for books and other things to pay for these metal detectors. I guess in my view, you know, what is the value of a child's life? You know, I think it's worth the investment in a pilot program. If it saves one life, I think it's accomplished its goal as a pilot program for the rest of the state and, frankly, for the rest of the country to embrace. So I go to bed at night, like many of you, concerned about issues of the state of California and ways in which we can make life better and safer for our kids and our adults. And this is a issue that has been pressing on me and my kids as we discuss these issues is what can we do to help make the schools safer for our kids so that we don't have to live the nightmare that many other communities are living in. So I believe with the potential passing of this, if it were to go forward, that I could very easily persuade the Board of Education that this is a very important program and certainly getting parental involvement and ensuring that they show their support for the program.
And then, so just to reiterate, so this also is permissive and it's as
correct.
Well as there's a sunset on it.
That is correct.
Great. I personally agree with a lot of what the opposition said in terms of things we need to do. But the fact of the matter is, if you read our Constitution, schools are guaranteed to be safe. And let's be honest, they're not safe. I think many senators, I go and I speak to fourth graders, eighth graders, and 12th graders. One of the questions I ask is, if you could introduce a law, what would it be? And last year was out in Hesperia, rural area, right? You'd think safe. And I had a fourth grader raise her hand, very enthusiastic, and said, metal detectors at our school. That never ever crossed my mind when I was a fourth grader. And you know, you're right, we have a new normal now, and it's unfortunate. But in terms of protecting our kids, I think we have to have all of the above approach. So we need to have the investments in mental health and build better families, and I agree with all that. But this is just another layer of protection to keep our kids safe, and I agree with you that even if it's one child, it's worth it. When it's appropriate, I would like to move the bill.
Thank you very much.
Senator Pan.
Thank you, and Senator Stone, I appreciate your interest in student safety, and I know it's something that health and safety is something that you care very much about. I guess the first question I have is that just reading the analysis and knowing that there's other school districts like LA Unified School District, which is a pretty big school district, already have metal detectors. Why do we need a bill to do this? Can't the school district or the county office of education already do this if they wish to?
You know, I think it's sending a message that the state of California recognizes that there's a problem and that we're not going to stand back idly and allow a potential incident to happen. We seem to be very reactive in California and in the United States, and we wait for the incident to happen
engage. Just to clarify, without, I'm just, if there wasn't a bill or a law, could they still put metal detectors in the school?
If they could garner the resources to do it, but this is also providing a state incentive to partner with them and basically covering 10% of the cost of those metal detectors as an incentive for them to raise the money.
So this actually requires that the state give additional money?
That's correct.
Okay. And then the other question is, I mean, I heard about this is a pilot and so forth, except we have schools that already do it, and I've heard that the results weren't really all that great. So, I mean, because it's...
How many kids were killed in LA County schools as a result of having metal detectors? I think the answer is zero. So I would say retrospectively that it has been successful. Yes, it might be a little bit invasive if you have to warn somebody if they come through a metal detector and it sounds an alarm. But the bottom line is how many kids have been killed and zero.
Well, actually, we wanted to do it in comparison to a school district that didn't have one to a school district that did. So, and then I guess the other question I have is that you install a metal detector. It doesn't just stand alone. You have to staff it. So, it takes ongoing staff resources as well. Correct. Is this helping fund that as well, or is it just equipment?
No, most school districts, certainly in Riverside County, have sworn officers that are on those campuses providing safety. So I would assume as a part of their responsibilities prior to school opening and people coming onto the campus that they would be manned by them or their associates.
Okay, but I also heard in your previous answer that at least at this point in time, your local county office education heard was lukewarm. I think that's the words you used about this proposal.
They are. But again, I haven't had the chance because we've been kind of busy here except for the last month to be able to sit down with each of the board members and explain the importance of what we're trying to accomplish here today. My argument is going to be we don't want to wait for the incident to happen. We want to be preventive. This is extremely non-invasive. It is voluntary. If the school district doesn't want to put up the money to get the state matching funds, if they don't want to redirect their public safety apparatus to operate these, they don't have to participate. But at least we can say that the state of California offered the resources and the leadership to try to make the schools safer in the event that an incident does in fact happen.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate what you're trying to do. I guess, you know, normally I would view something like this, you know, as a pilot. It's in your own district. But usually when someone brings district bills, they've already gotten support from their locals who said, we also want it, and I'm partnering with them to make this happen. I'm a little uncomfortable about the idea that, first of all, they could, if they wanted to, still start even without this law or this bill. And then, I mean, I appreciate you're going to go talk to them, but I sort of feel like that should happen first. And if they're on board, they come and they say, we're working with Senator Stone, and we need this to make this thing happen, that our community has all coalesced around and so forth. And I have to admit, that would make me much more comfortable about it, especially since we're also committing the state to put some funding into this as well. So,
know, this we often, as elected officials, have what we call knee-jerk reactions, and to many bills that come to fruition. This is one of those where this idea came into mind after a recent shooting. So.
Okay.
There hasn't been the time to reach out. Unfortunately, we just had a month's break. But during that month break, everybody goes on vacation. So after we're through here, August 31st, I'll be able to make my rounds. But I would be remiss if I didn't at least bring the bill forward and try to do what I can to help achieve better student safety.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Senator Lane.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning. Senator Stone, I very much appreciate you bringing something forward that will hopefully help ensure the safety of our children. I'm going to support the bill today. I do have some concerns. First, just editorializing, I want to say what a sad state of affairs that we are in, that we have to think about having metal detectors at our schools. I think there's things we can do on the outside with guns and whatnot, but we do live in a very weaponized society. Everybody wants to own their gun, and they don't care if children die. My concern is that we won't catch everything. You know, now that we have 3D guns that are, you know, we've just all seen that on the news, and I don't know if a plastic gun would get caught going through there. I don't know if that would work. We have drones. Someone could bring those in. So I think there's a lot of other things that we need to look at. And I also want to make sure if this bill passes and signed into law that it will be applied fairly. It will be all of your schools in your Senate district?
This would be just in the Riverside County districts, yes.
Riverside County district, okay.
And a pilot program.
Okay, and I want to make sure, I think sometimes that we do these things and we automatically look to the schools that are low income, and we think that our low income kids are our problem, but high income kids can be a problem too. So I just want to make sure that it's applied fairly and evenly. What's that? Okay, sorry. So I will support the bill today. I do have a few concerns, but I do share with you the idea that we need to keep our kids safe, and we need to try and do everything we can.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to just ask a couple questions of our witness in opposition. Let's play a little devil's advocate. What, you know, these programs are allowed under current law. LAUSD has a metal detector program. I would totally understand if you were here testifying in support of a bill that would ban metal detectors statewide or something like that. But what's wrong with this? You just generally oppose metal detector programs in schools and don't want to do anything that would help to expand their use?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are other things that we need to do to increase school safety, and that spending the state's money on metal detectors is the wrong way to go. Any money that's spent on school safety, we believe it would be better spent elsewhere, both in terms of actual increased safety and in terms of respecting the rights of students and creating the right kind of school environment for learning.
Okay, I gotcha. Okay, so you're not proposing any amendments. It's just a flat out
opposition. Just, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a little torn about this. I do agree with much of what's been said. I think if it would seem more compelling if we were hearing from your County Office of Education that they were very interested in pursuing something like this. And you know, I understand that the evidence is a little mixed about the impact, but there are certainly some reports that suggest that it could actually have a detrimental impact on on students' perceptions of safety, but you know, it seems as though there's a bit of a mix in the literature, which makes it difficult to evaluate.
Mr. Chair, it's only a pilot program.
Yeah, I understand that.
To embrace it, if it proves to be successful, maybe it could help in the state to prevent a loss of life of a child. So
yeah,
that's the motivation behind the bill.
Yeah, okay. My personal plan is to lay off the first round. I have there's a conversation I want to have with staff about a couple aspects of this bill, and then I'll, based on those conversations, make a decision as to how I'm going to vote later. But we made our recommendation. Your call. I totally agree. I think ultimately it's a pilot. It's only going to happen if the money is raised. What is your plan for the fundraising? How does that work? Because the idea is that you're going to put forward $100,000 from the state general appropriation, then somehow we're going to come up with $900,000.
That's only going to be allocated in the event that the school district raises $900,000.
Right.
So I will be out in the community with the school district actually raising awareness of the need for this type of security, and we will raise the money privately. We're not looking to use taxpayer funds for the $900,000. I have some donors that I think would be happy to step up to the plate in the best interest of school safety.
Okay. Okay. All right. Other questions, thoughts from the committee? It's been moved by Senator Wilk. If you'd like to close, Senator.
Thank you for your consideration. What is the value of one child's life?
Yeah.
We save one life by having these metal detectors in. Should the school districts embrace the concept and put them in? I think we have done what we can to preserve those lives, and respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Okay. So it's been moved. Secretary, please call roll.
Item 1, SB 1443. The motion is due pass to appropriations. Allen? Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye. Galgiani?
Aye.
Galgiani, aye. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. McGuire? Pan? Vidak?
Aye.
Vidak, aye.
Okay, so we're going to put that on call, and thank you to both of you
for coming
in. Thank
you for your consideration.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Senator. Okay, we see Senator De Leon is here. He's going to present item 2 in your agenda. That's the SCA 23 members. Glad you brought your cocoa water.
Right, Senator Allen, I believe this is the first time I've ever presented before you.
Oh, well, there you go.
All right. Wow, this is...
We're going to make it very difficult.
This is very historic. I actually love difficult hearings. I thrive on them. Yeah, it's been my specialty for the past 12 years. The more difficult, the more complex, the more controversial, the better, I always believe, you know. So with that, Mr. Vice Chair, as well as members of the Senate Education Committee, I want to thank you very much for the opportunity to present Senate Constitutional Amendment 23. I want to begin by agreeing to take the amendments recommended by the committee to include the baseline schools and college subcount, as well as the calculation of the year over year growth in the general fund revenues. As you know, last year, congressional leaders rushed to pass a grossly irresponsible tax plan that gives the wealthiest Americans and corporations a $1 trillion tax break at our expense. And not to be overly partisan, not to be respectful to our Republican colleagues here today, but this Republican tax scam deliberately targets Americans in blue states that didn't vote for Donald Trump. And it could cost Californians, especially Californians, billions of dollars on an annual basis. In fact, the average Californian taxpayer deducted over $18,000 on what we call SALT, the state and local taxes, last year on their federal returns. Now that deduction has been capped at $10,000, which was no cap, as now there is a cap, which is $10,000, meaning specifically 3 million California taxpayers will lose out on thousands of valuable deductions each year on their federal taxes. My Senate measure, Senate Bill 227, is designed to ensure Californians don't have to foot the bill for this ridiculous tax giveaway by giving them a charitable outlet that will help them while helping our public schools. Senate Bill 227, which is this is not this measure, would create a fund that taxpayers can contribute up to, which would give them an 85% tax credit on every dollar they contributed. I'm here to present Senate Constitutional Amendment number 23, which protects all of our education funding formulas, making sure we meet all the funding requirements before administering this credit. Ultimately, it would benefit the state and its taxpayers if we offered a menu of charitable options so they can choose how they want to put their charitable giving to work. Taken together, this amendment is paired with Senate Bill 227, and another measure of mine, which is Senate Bill 539, will offer California taxpayers that menu of options, helping them give to the cause of their choice. Now, by doing so, we allow the taxpayers of California to contribute to the betterment of our state, helping California while they help themselves. This measure would only protect the 3 million California taxpayers who benefit from the SALT state and local tax exemption and can, again, only benefit our public schools. Therefore, the objective of Senate SCA 23 is to protect Prop 98. Therefore, I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Just to clarify, this bill is the recommendation is due past the Elections Committee Constitutional Amendments, which will be meeting tomorrow. So there's a number of technical amendments that I don't think you can take today, you're going to take it before it gets to the floor. So thank you. Thanks for that. Question: any folks who want to voice support for the bill? Anyone wants to voice concerns or opposition to the bill? Hey there.
I want a photo of this.
My former employer. My former boss.
We're still friends.
We've been on the show for the past year.
I know.
Year
yeah, we've been, so this is our tag team show. Yeah. Good morning, Jennifer Baker with the California Teachers Association. And it's unfortunate that that we are in opposition to the measure. But let me say that we appreciate and agree with the description of what the federal government is doing to our state and that their intentions are in the best financial interests of our state. So we absolutely agree. We understand that this is a very complex issue, and we want to ensure that there are going to be no unintended consequences. And that's really what we're trying to do as far as our due diligence. So we do appreciate the technical amendment that was recommended by staff. That actually was one of the issues that we had brought up. So we appreciate that. Unfortunately, there are some issues with SB 227 that we have. One aspect of the constitutional amendment is the fact that it's not conjoined with SB 227. So there are a few technical issues that could have unintended consequences for the long-term viability of Prop 98, which is what we want to preserve. So unfortunately, we do oppose the constitutional amendment. We do understand the ultimate goal that you're trying to achieve. We do believe that it may have some unintended consequences and want to work to make sure that those issues are addressed. So unfortunately, we do oppose the bill.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and thanks for working with us. I think, as you mentioned, some of the suggestions you brought up in your letter, we were able to incorporate into our work on the bill, and I think it's going to help to address some of your core concerns, at least, with regards to the impact on the funding formula. Okay. Other people want to raise concerns or questions about the bill? The matter is now before the committee for thoughts, ideas. Yes, Senator?
Good morning, Senator De Leon. So I'm a little confused by the bill. Are what you saying what it will do, the constitutional amendment will allow people who qualify for SALT to contribute to Prop 98 and use it as a tax write-off?
That's not what Senate,
I know, that's why I'm, because I was trying to figure out what you were saying.
It's what Senate Bill 227 does.
Putting the two together. Yeah. So what does this bill do?
This bill does, it actually comes, born from many meetings with educational organizations and from Ms. Baker as well too. What this does here, and we have enjoined them, therefore, if 227 passes, the Senate Constitutional Amendment 23 has to pass as well, too. So they're both enjoined, too. So we want to make that clarification. What 23 does, it adds a constitutional amendment. So it adds the guarantee that if 98 is harmed in any form, way, or shape, 227 is not moving forward. We stop that right there. We want to add extra layer of insurance, if you will, a backstop, if you will, to give that constitutional guarantee, as opposed to this is the right policy, a hope and a prayer, things should go well. We don't know if there's a potential unintended consequence in the near future. This is an ironclad guarantee that Prop 98 will not be harmed in any form or shape. Obviously, that is not our goal, a matter of intention. Our goal and intention is to do everything within our power to make sure the taxpayers of California are not fleeced in this case because of the decisions made by the president as well as the congressional leaders. This is sort of kind of, if you will, goes post and parcel with, if I can give you an example, say for example, with the attempted evisceration of our clean air, clean water laws by the EPA, in this case just recently the fuel efficiency standards by the Environmental Protection Agency, the Department of Justice lawsuit against the state of California, in this case against a measure that many of us voted for, Senate Bill 54, the California Values Act, also known as the Sanctuary State Bill. In this case, this is a reaction to the GOP tax plan of 2017 that was voted on December, which purposefully targeted blue states like New York, New Jersey, the state of California. We will lose revenue, billions of dollars in revenue, unless we provide that relief. This is model based, and I don't know the measure off the top of my head of a measure that I passed a few years back, that is law of California, that allows contributors to take a tax credit, which is 50% tax credit, for contributions to Cal grants. This is on the same model, but what this does here, SCA 23, it provides that ironclad guarantee that 98 is not harmed in no form or shape.
But CTA doesn't think that it's ironclad. That's why you guys are opposed. What? So if this is supposed to be the ironclad guarantee, what is it that you feel is that isn't there that you would need to support this?
It's a little complicated discussing each measure separately. So what we've tried to do is discuss some of the issues with SB 227 as well as with SEA 23, since they're both impacted on the first.
Because it seems like I could see you're opposing the other one, but this one actually moves that other bill significantly in your direction toward protecting the 98 guarantee.
I think. What's important to recognize is there are some fundamental issues that we still have with SB 227. First, our number one issue is failing to reconcile the tax year basis with Prop 98's fiscal year basis and constitutionally protect the school's right to supplemental subaccount funds. So it does get somewhat technical. We do appreciate and understand that Senator De Leon is working to try to address the issues as much as we can. Unfortunately, what distinguishes California from other states is also the fact that we have Prop 98, which New York doesn't have. And so that does make this, I think, a little more challenging to try to figure out what's the best way to do this to not only protect the taxpayers of the state of California, but to also protect future taxpayers of the state of California while they're achieving their education. So we do appreciate the senator has continually reached out, and we've been trying to work together. This is one of those issues where we might not be able to ultimately agree on the right path forward, but nevertheless want to continue the conversation, and we appreciate that.
Okay. Great. Well, I'll see it tomorrow in elections. So I'm gonna lay off today because I want to read the technical amendments, which I have not, and hopefully I'll be able to sort of support it tomorrow.
Okay. It's not that complex of a measure, but yeah. It is complex and arcane, but it's not complex in terms of the policy. But
okay, other thoughts, questions from the members? Yes, Senator Pan.
So I just want to clarify in terms of that, because I heard Senator Delaney said these are going to be, are they conjoined? Are they going to be conjoined? What's the status on it?
Yeah.
They are conjoined.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thank you for clarifying. We had five issues. So two of the boxes have been checked. We still have three boxes that haven't been checked, but some of them are still in regard specifically to SB 227.
Okay. All right. Well, given your testimony, Ms. Baker, I think that I understand that there's continued conversations, and I think it sounds like everyone's at least agreed in terms of intent. There's some technical stuff still to be worked out. Is that an accurate reflection?
Whether or not it can be worked out, we're not absolutely sure, but we do appreciate that the senator is attempting to work it out.
Well, then what I'll say is I'm going to support the bill and actually move it at the appropriate time. I look forward to seeing what the results of those conversations are, but I would hope that I want to be sure that we have an opportunity for those discussions to continue to move. Otherwise, if the bill stops here, that ends that conversation. So but I appreciate that there are some issues that still have to be worked out, and I hope that they can get worked out and before we actually put this thing before the voters. Does that make sense?
Sorry, okay, Jenny.
Thank you. Yeah.
I want to thank the author for this, and we served in the assembly together when we had the budget crisis, and it was necessary to negotiate with CTA on some changes to Prop 98 so we could borrow from it and so forth. Would this bill have any future impact if we were to find ourselves in that position again? Would it?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I'm glad that you asked that question, and hence the Constitutional Amendment 23, which, again, as I articulated to Senator Leyva, creates the ironclad guaranteed Prop 98 guarantee that we wouldn't be using any deductions, so it would cease at that moment. That's why it's important to move forward this measure to companion to 227. I think there's an agreement that 227, with the concerns that CTA has, this is a lot better. 23 may not be exactly where they would like to be, but it's a lot better to provide that guarantee.
So we would be able to still negotiate.
Oh yeah,
if
yeah,
we
yeah.
Found
if
ourselves
that's up
in
to
a
that
budget crisis again.
Obviously, that's contingent on what the economic climate is like. Okay. Obviously, that's contingent. That was a political decision that was made during the time we were together in terms of legislative leaders and the governor, and very hard-fought negotiations with the CTA that, you know, acquiesced always on the guarantee that Prop 98 would be paid back. That was a very difficult period during the budget when we had. I don't think anyone here has endured that. That was unlike anything we've ever endured before.
Yes.
You know.
Let's hope
Thank
we never
you.
Go through.
Yeah,
that
let's
again.
Hope. Yeah, let's hope we don't. Yes. We never go through that again. Yeah.
Mr. Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One thing that we probably don't agree on is I think California taxes are too high. You may not agree with that, but what I think we do agree upon, I think there's enough evidence to suggest that Donald Trump had an agenda with his tax plan, and as you may recall, as one of two Republicans who actually supported your prior bill, and I do plan to support this today, but it'd be interesting to see how we work it out. My big frustration is I don't think we're doing enough investment in public education, and too often we treat Prop 98 as a ceiling. I mean, we should, instead of a floor. So, and I'd like to move in that direction. But I'll be supporting it today, and we'll see how it plays out. But I think one of the other strategies is to try to drive high-wealth individuals out of states like California to go elsewhere, because I've had people come meet me after that plan saying, showing me the tax burden that they're now going to do. And so I think there is some motivation behind that. So whatever we can do to encourage these people to stay here and invest in California, I think is a good thing.
Yeah, no, thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Obviously, as we know, the inability to take full opportunity of the SALT impacts Democrats as well as Republicans alike in California. Again, it's unfortunate that what was unlimited exemption now has been capped at $10,000. Obviously, as you mentioned, targeting specific states, a state like California, which we have the largest number of taxpayers who file that exemption. And again, that impacts some. Everyone across the political spectrum. So in this case, the measure in itself is a bipartisan measure. I know it may perhaps put up some Republicans maybe in an awkward position, given that it was a GOP tax plan, you know, driven by the president. But I think some of the more politically astute, obviously, elected officials on both the Senate as well as the Assembly, Republicans, obviously either voted for it or, you know, some of them took a pass. They didn't vote against it. You know, they just stayed off it altogether because they know that a lot of the constituents themselves benefit from the SALT without the cap. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very supportive of these efforts. I think it's my strong sense that this is a win-win for this legislature. I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, this is going to give folks an option. It's true that we don't know what's going to happen from the federal government, and the IRS will almost certainly oppose this vigorously, but I also know that we've been working really closely with a number of law professors to closely mimic several very popular red state tax deductions and credits from other parts of the country that would have to be unwound if the IRS is going to successfully attack our attempt here. So from my perspective, this is a way of trying to mitigate the impact of this tax bill on a number of our taxpayers, gives them an option, allows us to challenge and fight this in court, and in the end of the day, we'll actually increase funds for the state because it's not 100% credit. So people will be donating to this fund, and they'll also at the same time still be responsible for an additional amount of money to their taxes. So from my perspective, given the fact that the tax bill at the federal level was a lose-lose for the state, this response is a win-win. So I'm very supportive of it. I actually think that the core concerns on Prop 98 are much more inherent to SB 227 rather than SCA 23. SCA 23, from my perspective, really does, especially with some of the amendments that have been taken, really does firm up.
I think everybody also, through the chair, everyone voted for 227 as well.
Yeah, and I'm a strong supporter of that as well. But exactly. Yeah. So if you support 227, then you definitely ought to support SCA 23 because it actually helps to protect the core issues that have been raised by the education community with regards to Prop 98. So I'd love to be added as co-author when appropriate.
Thank you.
And I'm very supportive of this bill. I think that it's an important thing for us to do, given what happened at the federal level.
And Mr. Chair, you said something that was very poignant with regards to other states throughout the country, in particular red states that have a same tax deduction. Unfortunately, they use it for other reasons, and I don't think many of us would in terms of a tax deduction for private schools, vouchers, sectarian or secular schools.
Right.
If the Internal Revenue Service at the Department of Treasury were to opine that this is illegal, we already know that capping the salt that had an impact on blue states specifically was very political. If the IRS were actually to go out of its way to opine that this is inappropriate and cannot be done through the reg process, that would be the absolute validation that they politicize this situation even more so, because the current status quo allows it throughout the country. It allows it here in California through the measure that I move forward with a deduction that's 50% for Cal Grants. Arizona, Alabama, Florida uses this tax
right.
credit for vouchers. The IRS has not opined in the opposition. So if the IRS were to do this again, it is like it'd be unfortunate. But that means that there would be that's Steve Mnuchin and the White House specifically are going out of the way to politicize the IRS and heavily influence. Again, on the ground, whether you're a Democrat or Republican and you're a tax filer and you take advantage of the salt, it shouldn't make a difference which political party you're from. These
yeah.
are the laws, these are the rules, you know, and you take advantage of those exemptions. Because of California has many high-wage earners, in
right.
this case estimated 3 million who take advantage of SALT, which is the average tax deductions between 18 and 22,000. Now we have 10,000 capped,
right.
and then we're going to lose all this revenue right here. So we're going to continue to work with the CTA. I do thank Ms. Baker for her openness, obviously, and working. And I understand that anything that comes near,
yeah.
I come from CTA, anything that comes near the horizon of 98, you know, it's like
sacred.
A sacred,
yeah.
you know,
sacred
that,
ground.
You know, if you blow a little bit, you know,
yeah.
and it's
appropriately so.
Yeah. So.
So, look, I think that the reason why you're getting bipartisan support is that it is a win-win for California taxpayers. I'll take that as your close.
It is my close. Thank you.
And Secretary, please call the roll.
Question.
Oh, is there a motion? Senator Pan.
Item 2, SCA 23, the motion is due pass to elections and constitutional amendments. Allen?
Aye.
Allen, aye. Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye. Galgiani?
Aye.
Galgiani, aye. Leyva? McGuire?
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye. Vidak?
No.
Vidak, no.
Okay, that is out. We will close the roll on that because everyone is here. So let's entertain a motion for the consent calendar. We have item number 3, that's SCR 157, Portantino, as related to Italian-American heritage. It's been moved by Senator Pan. For the consent calendar, Secretary, please call the roll.
Allen?
Aye.
Allen, aye. Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye. Galgiani?
Aye.
Galgiani, aye. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. McGuire?
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye. Vidak?
Aye.
Vidak, aye.
Okay, that's unanimous. Let's now reopen the roll on item 1. This is Senator Stone's bill, SB 1443.
Item 1, SB 1443, the motion is due pass to appropriations with the chair not voting. Vice chair voting aye, 4-0. Allen?
Aye.
Allen, aye. McGuire?
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Pan?
Okay, that's out. And I think with that, we've finished our votes.
How are you doing? Our
hearts go out to Senator McGuire for all the challenges in his district right now with the fires. Thank you for being here. And
thank you very much.
With that, we are going to adjourn. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.